This week on Chicago Beer Pass, we've got a full studio with the Bader Brau crew coming in. So get ready for that.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick Wayne.
And we've got a full house this week. If you're not seeing the video, there's a lot of people in this room.
Dude, this is the most guests I think we've had all day. You know, it is the return of the Bader Brau crew. Now, we've got a couple guys we've had on the show before. Justin Maynard, what's going on?
What's up, bud?
And Ross Sam, founder of Bader Brau.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. And can you introduce the two guys that you brought with you this time?
So I brought with me my new restaurant partner, Rocky Gupta. Rocky owns Chef Luciano's, which is right down the street from us, and he came on board to help us get our own restaurant open. We also have Chef Frank Kwiatkowski with us, who has helped develop our menu at Bader Brau.
Right on. Right on. Very cool.
So, and then we have a lot of beer with us, too, right? You guys brought, I think, your whole lineup?
We brought, not the whole lineup, no. We didn't actually bring any of our year-round beers. Yeah, we brought all one-offs. So we brought our unfiltered hoppy IPL called Blizza. Mm-hmm. And we brought our new Berliner Weiss, which has just come out, just hit the docks. We brought our summer IPL Lawnmower Lager. And then we brought two bocks. One is our smoked Doppelbock called the Conflagrator, and the other one is our spring Maibock called Hip Hop Beatbock.
Right on, right on. Now, Brad, have you been down to the new Bader Brau?
Once over last summer. It was in the middle of the week, so before the kitchen was open, and I was just shocked at how big it was.
Like, space. I'm thinking like 20,000 square feet or something, right?
It's 25,000 over the course of the two floors. It's got about an 18,000 square foot footprint.
Oh, shit.
Man. But Nick, you were just there recently, right?
I was just there. The team Drink and Smoke came in fourth place in the Tuesday night trivia.
Okay.
You know, yeah, and then I got a chance to check out the new menu. I was really excited about that. So I'm really glad these guys are here, man. What is the connection, man, between you and the chef? Now, I've heard of this space before. Was it Luciano's? It's like my mom's favorite place where she worked downtown, right? She'd always go there.
Yeah.
What's the connection? Talk about how you guys met and what's the connection?
Well, he's a neighbor, basically. Oh. He's two blocks north of us on Cermak and Wabash. And, you know, when we were in construction, we sort of discovered the place because we'd eat lunch there or get takeout from there, and we all liked the food. And then at some point, we'd met at one of the neighborhood town halls, and we'd bump into each other here and there, National Restaurant Show, that kind of thing. And eventually I thought, well, we reach out and see if he might be interested in helping us get our food program going, because we knew from customer feedback that we desperately needed a food program. And so now we have one.
That's groovy, man.
Yeah, it's worked out well for us, too, because we were interested in, you know, we've been in the neighborhood for 35 years now. And, you know, we've been in the South Loop since it was just the South Side. You know, there was no South Loop. It was just South Side. And so, we, you know, I've been involved in the business for the last almost 10 years now. And we've been looking to diversify and try and, you know, grow our business and do something different. And, you know, it was a great pairing because I love beer and they needed food and it worked out well. So,
yeah. And this kind of separates you guys from the other breweries in the South Loop at this point. Now, you're the guys.
It actually separates us from a lot of the breweries. When we jumped on board, one of the first things we did was, you know, our quote unquote market research: go to breweries and drink and eat. Right? Like it's the hardest job ever.
Yeah.
So when we started going down and running through the list of all the breweries, it's like, well, there's a ton of breweries, obviously in Chicago now, but there's not a lot of them that are doing food programs. And so I think it sets us aside from not just the breweries in the South Loop, but from a lot of the breweries in Chicago in general.
Yeah.
Of being able to provide a tailored program for, you know, that the food designed to go with the beer and the beer design to go with the food.
Nice. So, Nick, I saw you post a picture of what you were eating when you were there, but what... What kind of, what's the food? Like, what are we?
That popped up on my Twitter feed. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. what is going on here?
Wait, what is that? Yeah,
I was order number 69. I got the, we had to get it going with this mac and cheese waffle. I was like, what the hell is that about? And then we followed that up with the Reuben, the Saaz Hop Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's at.
Yeah, so to be clear, you know, we are making just about everything from scratch, you know. Yeah. We stuff our own sausage. Our bratwurst is made with reduced Chicago Pilsner. We cure our own corned beef. And we cure it with Saaz hops, the same hops that are used in the Pilsner. You know, so everywhere we can connect the beer to the food or the beer ingredients to the food, we've done that, and obviously Chef Frank has been instrumental in helping us get all that together.
Yeah, a true collaboration. It's what I like to see, man.
Yeah.
The food program is driven for the beer, basically, you know? And like you said, so for the sausage, like, we emulsify usually with water, typically, but we turn the beer into a syrup and use that instead. So there's hints and notes of the beer in the sausage as well. So that's pretty cool, but also we kind of take a little bit of different stance on it. We try to do some Indian stuff, like Chef Luciano's, right? Our nachos, they're pretty dope. And so everybody does nachos at their place, I feel like. It's pretty common, right? It's pretty commonplace. Ours is a little bit different. Instead of doing barbecue pork, we cook ours in like a barbecue coconut curry. And it actually pairs really well with beer cheese.
And we make the beer cheese with Southside Pride.
Exactly. So we interpret all the beer and all the food kind of the same way, and it's all geared towards making it work with whatever beer you're drinking, with whatever food you're eating at the place.
I can dig it, man.
Yeah, so this is probably great for the brewery and the neighborhood, because when I was there, we were looking for food. We were, like, picking up beer to get on the boat, and we're like, oh, we need something to eat. And there's not a lot of things around there that you can, like, quickly grab something or just, like, even bring back to the brewery at that time when you guys didn't have the kitchen, right?
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of requests, even from McCormick Place attendees saying, hey, you know, we're going to come by and get two tables and, you know, have some beers and lunch. And we would say, well, we don't have food, but we have delivery options. They'll deliver to you. And that's not good enough when you're trying to get to your next conference, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the food options inside of McCormick Place get overwhelmed very quickly when there's a conference going on. And just in the neighborhood, you know, there's not a lot of places to have sit-down lunch or dinner, you know? I mean, the nearest place would be sort of Kroll's all the way up on 18th, you know, so it, or maybe Reggie's. So it's something the neighborhood really needs, you know? You hear from a lot of people who live in the South Loop, geez, I live in the middle of the city, but I walk out my door and there's nothing to do.
Right.
Well, hello, yeah. Welcome to Vaderbrow, right?
Here we are, man. Yeah, 25,000 square feet,
yeah.
Food, and like, what, like 10, 11, 12 beers.
So we have 10 beers on tap, and then usually things that aren't on tap, if we have some cans left over, we'll serve you cans.
Yeah, and then it's a fun time over there, man, because, you know, McCormick Place, they were telling me it's like four buildings, but it is the largest convention center in North America.
Yeah, oh,
so
yeah.
It shouldn't be five, because when the arena opens, it'll be connected. It's technically going to be connected, so it's really five buildings, yeah.
I wish they hadn't fucked up the Star Wars Museum, though, man. That still kind of breaks my heart. I feel like they had something to do with that.
Yeah.
That would have been killer, man. Justin, man, we've known you since the... for like 5-6 years now, yeah. Since we met in that strange park where they do the Chicago Beer Society.
This is a weird story. Oh, I didn't know that strange park.
Yeah, no, they do
what do you do in the strange park?
Yeah, exactly. They do the Chicago Beer Society picnic in the same park on the northwest side of it.
Yeah.
And that's the first time Justin and I met, like, yeah. You know, a while back. You guys are in Sox Park now.
Yeah, yeah, that was a fun opportunity.
What's that great like? Now, what do you do to get into a ballpark? Do you, like, sit down and, like, piss these guys? Like, how does that work out?
Yeah, one of my friends works in the ticketing office. It's all about who you know and connections, right? So my friend that works in the ticketing office knows a gentleman that works in the marketing department who got us in touch with the sales guy, right? So the gentleman that's the head of sales for the Sox, for the White Sox, he actually lives in Lamont, Illinois. And this year, after the whole ousting of Miller Coors, they were kind of open to the idea of bringing in craft breweries, having just more brands in general. They created the Craft Corner down in the bullpen sports bar.
God damn it, shit.
Yeah, come on, buddy. So yeah, so basically, Jason Lubavitch, our director of sales, Jason and I talked about it, came up with kind of like a marketing plan to like sit down with these guys and do like a sampling. So we brought in Southside Pride, we brought in our Pilsner, High Noon, we also brought in Red Velvet, and I believe we had a fifth beer with us. But they loved all of them, and it was great. So I believe we're the only craft brewery in Illinois that actually has three beers in the whole stadium. So we're available, we're not on draft, but we're available on every level.
Yeah.
In cans, in the craft, in the craft corner down the bullpen sports bar, and in the suites. So pretty cool, yeah.
Well, Southside Pride is such a natural pairing for it, too.
Yeah.
That makes
you see
a lot
of Instagram pictures of people holding their Southside Pride cans in the ballpark, which is very cool.
Yeah.
I got a little worried with the artwork. I was hoping the Sox wouldn't get too pissed about it, but
because
they apparently love it.
So. Yeah, they love it. They're just like, "This is great." I was like, "Great, we can do this all the time."
They should love it.
Yeah, I actually cleared that with our IP attorneys before going live. Okay, they said, "Are we gonna get in trouble?" And they said, "No." So
yeah,
Justin. So stepping back, like, what brought you to Bader Proud? Like,
I was available last June, July, and it was funny. Like, Rob called me. We talked about the story once in a while. Rob called me. I was at the lakefront messing around, and Rob called me on his cell phone, and he had like an earbud in, an earpiece, and I couldn't hear a damn word he was saying. And it was just like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, and I was just like, I gotta go. So like, I think I just hung up on him, and I just went about my day, and everything was fine. And then pretty much like a month and a half later, Jason Lubavitch texted me. He's like, "Hey, you want to meet up for a beer at Reggie's?" Shout out to Reggie's on State Street. So I was like, "Yeah, let's meet up for a beer." And you know, my schedule was clear; I had nothing else going on. And after four or five Founders All Day IPAs, Jason was like, "Want to come to the brewery and talk to Rob? You know, we've got an interesting kind of position for you if you're willing and able." So met up with Rob. We had a series of meetings with the team, and it was a good opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, working with Rob for Rob, it's a good marriage for me. You know, like, Rob's a good dude. You know, creative. I pretty much have like creative control of what I do. And Rob knows, just like, I'm kind of like a top, like I'm out and I'm doing things. So yeah, it's good for me. So professionally and personally.
And you had a lot of those relationships that you've built prior. So you know people around town. You know where to
All the bars,
where the beer is going to work, and
it's cool. It's funny because we, like, you know, we kind of looked at the city, especially the South Loop, and kind of mapped it out. And you know, Rob and Jason asked me like, who are the accounts that you know, and it was kind of shocking that I knew everybody. So Rob's just like, you know, take some beer, go talk to him, and you know, see what we can do with tap handles and shelf space and whatnot. So you know, I dip in. There's many different aspects that I dip in, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. So you guys kind of building more of the Southside kind of brand and awareness there with the kitchen and the Sox Park and everything like that. It's kind of like, might as well make that your home base, right?
Yeah,
you know, I felt like, I mean, I was introduced to the city by way of the Southside coming to the University of Chicago. And, you know, I love the Southside, and I felt like there was no one owned it. You know what I mean?
You can open
it's,
that.
It's kind of
open
it right up. There for the taking. Yeah.
Trying to be kind.
No, it's a beer show.
I'm opening a can of beer.
A hip hop beep box. We should add.
Yeah. So so I mean, I'd always wanted to try to, if it was possible, open a place in the South Side, and we had come very close to closing on a place in Bridgeport, and it fell through at the 11th hour. And I'd opened up my search to sort of the city as a whole, but we just kept coming back to the South Side as it felt right for us. Mm-hmm. And we wound up in the corner of 25th and Wabash. But I feel like there's an opportunity to sort of be that, to be the beer of the South Side, you know?
Yeah, like an anchor.
Yeah, like an anchor.
Because it's like super accessible, all the beers.
Yep.
And then they're in cans, you know, which I'm a big fan of. What's up with Bridgeport, man? Because I think Five Rabbit had a similar story where they were like, "Hey, we're trying to open up, you know, near Pilsen, because Bridgeport is next to Pilsen."
Yeah.
And then for some reason it fell through. And then...
So, I mean, I think there's an element within Bridgeport that wants Bridgeport to be a bedroom community and doesn't and is very averse to sort of new bars opening up. You know, if you're going to have a brewery, you ought to have a tap room with it to get the whole experience and to make money that you, you know, to make money on a tap room. And, you know, they basically told us you could build the brewery, but you can't have a tap room. And we said, well, really? Forget that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and some of these aldermen and council members are worried it's going to bring in, like, riffraff, where it's like, the people that are coming to buy the beer, they usually have money. They're not like drunks.
All the crappier riffraff.
Nick's hanging out in random parks. I would alderman in that respect.
Drinking all that beer.
I think there's just some sense from some people that, you know, they don't understand the craft beer vibe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't tell you the number of times I've been approached by a guy panhandling the street. Man, you got a quarter? I gotta go get some KBS, man. I just need a quarter, man.
Happens all the time. Just like that. That's funny.
They let the duck in, move right into a residential area, though. That to me is odd. That they would
let
the duck in. Like, they're literally on the corner of a residential spot right there.
Rapunio, Lawnmower Lager.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brought to you by Beta Barrel Brewing Company.
Very good.
Thank you. Now, Rob, this week marks like 5 years, almost to the day, where we ran our first Beta Brawl story.
Yeah. You know?
And this was like 4 days before the Tribune ran it.
Right. But
nowadays, that'll never happen again, because Tribune gets the lead on everything. Now it's kind of weird. Like,
yeah.
You're at a party, and then halfway through the party, Tribune's like posting the preview. You're like, what the fuck?
Right. Can't let someone beating them anymore.
Yeah, man. Walk us through a little bit of what's been going on the last 5 years, man. Now, you started with the good folks at Argus.
We started at Argus, and they're great guys, but we just found that we weren't getting the volumes we needed, and it was they're a small brewery, and they just weren't equipped to handle us, right? So we moved it up to Stevens Point, and we brewed really nothing but the Pilsner for a year at Stevens Point.
Yeah.
And then the first beer of our own we introduced was Oktoberfest, and followed by Red Velvet, and then really it was Lawnmower when that first came out that started to put us on the map with a lot of craft beer folks. You know, I mean, there was an article in the Washington Post today about how Pilsners are the new hottest beer in craft, right? But when we did this 5 years ago, people were like, what are you doing, dude, right? What on earth are you doing?
Where's your IPA?
Yeah, and we came out with an IPL, and Binnie's wrote us up at the Beer Buzz as being their favorite sessionable IPA in the market, even though it was an IPL. And it got us on the map. And today, you know, we still sell Lawnmower, obviously, but, you know, Pilsner is still our flagship, far and away our bestseller. And frankly, Southside's coming up right up behind it. It's kind of incredible how fast that's growing.
Now, what is Southside again?
Southside's a Munich-style Helles, triple decocted.
Okay.
Yeah, that was named by Beer Advocate. It's got an outstanding rating by Beer Advocate. So we sent them some samples, and they were astounded by it. You know, so that's a beer that, you know, from a technical brewing standpoint, is probably our most difficult beer to brew, and it's just great to make a super flavorful Helles style beer, right? And, and it's just packed with flavor, and you can drink those all day.
Yeah.
And take photos with them, too.
And take photos with them on Instagram, which we always encourage. Always encourage.
Tag Beta Bro.
Keep it clean.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we opened up we started brewing in May of last year. We opened the tap room in June. And now our kitchen in April. And it's like every time it feels like a new launch, you know, you're doing it again. But it feels like it's all come together, you know, like we've got a great atmosphere, a great vibe there. You know, you come in on a Saturday afternoon, people have their kids in there. But on weekends, we have great events. We hosted the Threadless C2E2 after party, which was a massive event. And that was done during our kitchen soft opening. So
Rocky
loved it. Yeah.
Rocky got spanked.
Yeah. We had a great time. Got didn't sleep for like 2 weeks.
It was a great day. It was a great day.
We enjoyed
the
shit out of it.
And now Frank is on WGN making mac and cheese waffles for the TV audience.
Mac and cheese on top.
It's pretty legit. It's legit as fuck.
That sounds good.
Which one of these was the first one you came up with? When you sat down, you had the beer. What was the first thing you came up with?
I think the first of Rob and I had some initial meetings when we started the conversations about partnering together, and And he's like, he had some visions of what he wanted to see. And I think the obvious thing was the Bader Brat, right? We're a German, a modern German beer hall. So to do a modern take on, a German classic beer hall item, like a Bratwurst, was important to all of us. But we're not just opening up a thing and boiling a Johnsonville Brat.
I mean, I think the kitchen space is so small, right? Like, that it was important that...
It's pretty laughable when you think about, like, the vastness of the entire building that we're given, like, a 10 by 15 room.
Right. Like, you walk into the beer cooler, and it's like a penthouse, right? The beer cooler is
a
penthouse.
We've got 29,000 square feet, but, guys, you get...
Our kitchen is a closet, yeah. And you get a panini press in an oven. But the thing was that, like, whatever we do, like, we keep it small, but we do everything... We do it all.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest thing, is that no matter what we do, we're going to do it.
Yeah, so. I think that the place where we started was, as Rocky said, the Bader Brat. I had expressed an interest in curing our own corned beef, and that became our Reuben. We knew we wanted to do pretzels of some sort. I talked about bringing them in. But Chef Frank had made pretzels in a restaurant setting before, and insisted that we do it the right way, which is to use lye to get the brown coating on it. Mm, yeah. A lot of places use butter or egg wash. We use lye in the very traditional German
poison
way.
Is the way to go.
In moderation. Yeah, in moderation.
Just enough poison to get that pretzel color. Right?
It's not just a song you hear at 2 a.m. at the club.
Exactly. Right. So it's got some truth behind it.
Those pretzels are real
short. But it and then, you know, we talked about doing a chicken sandwich where we utilize the hops to bring some hop flavor to it. And so our IPL chicken, what we do is we take the hops from Lawnmower Lager, the Falconer's Flight hops, we macerate them in oil overnight, and then remove the hops, and the oil just has this amazing hop aroma. And we use that oil to make a mayonnaise that goes on the sandwich. And it's just an amazing chicken sandwich. You've never had one like it.
And we use, that's the one carryover, the one true carryover from Chef Luciano's, is we use our marinade, our 35-year tested chicken marinade on the chicken thigh as well. So it's the beautiful deep flavors that we developed at Chef Luciano's, and we use that on the chicken, complemented by this really nice bitterness and acid that you get off the mayonnaise. It really, really works.
Macerated, man. That's a great word. Look at this one.
That's a UFC education there.
I learned that at UFC.
I got to ask him what that means later, so.
Let's talk about
it. Yeah, me too. I should know what that word means. Yeah.
Hey, Siri.
She is useless, man.
Define master.
She is lazier than fuck, dude.
Yeah. She is depressing. Christ. She is depressing.
Ascertain means.
No, I got the
wrong thing. See? Just cutting corners and shit.
No, we'll do it again. We'll do it again. Define macerate.
Macerate means, especially with reference to food, soften or become softened by soaking in a liquid. Especially with reference to food, soften or become softened by soaking in a liquid.
Yeah, that's what we do.
No, so the waffle is actually it's something I've been playing with for a couple of years. I had this crazy idea to do a fried chicken sandwich, but instead of on like a biscuit or a bun, to actually put it between two pieces of mac and cheese waffle. And I never quite got that to work. But we were sitting around one day, and I'm like, hey guys, I got this idea that, like, I've been trying to do this mac and cheese waffle. What do you think about, does that have a place on the menu? And they're both just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Sure, but this is like all the things that you like.
Yeah, right? It's amazing because it gets this gooey inside and this beautiful, like, crispy caramel outside. It's like all the aspects of like a great baked mac and cheese, but texturally mixed with a waffle and like all the goodness that comes from that. And so, I mean, probably ran through a dozen recipes.
We developed the fuck out of that recipe. Yeah, I mean, it was, I feel like there's like six different hands in this recipe. Because we, like, originally, like, it was like, all right, let's make mac and cheese and turn into a waffle. Then it was like,
all right. Throw out the waffle maker. And
right.
We literally started by just taking mac and cheese, and throwing it in the waffle iron, and seeing what happens. Yeah. You know?
Which is what you think it is when you hear about it. Yeah. Like, it's just mac and cheese, but it's not.
But if you do that, you make a mess at home. Don't do that.
Yeah. I think Jonathan Serrata has done that. He likes to waffle a lot of things. Yeah.
Waffleize it.
Yeah, you can waffleize it. That's true. Yeah.
Should we talk about parties a little bit, man? I know you guys got Chicago Craft Beer Week is coming up.
Yeah.
And you guys have a big one on the schedule. I think Beer in the Glass is first, and then right after that is the Southside Craft Beer Festival.
Yeah. Actually, May 19th is our next event. The next night.
Oh, okay.
We're partnering up with a group called the Mud Queens. So we're going to do a
little... Is that like mud wrestling?
Yeah. We're going to do a little ladies mud wrestling in the brewery.
Get the fuck out of
here. Because we don't have enough shit to do, we're going to just turn the brewery floor into a mud wrestling pit and go to town. So
outstanding.
Yeah, it's great.
We make a lot of
it. If it's a charity, right?
It's a charity. Yeah, so all
proceeds. It's not all lasciviousness.
Yeah, it's
for a good cause. We've got
three professional punk bands playing. The ladies are going to be wrestling, all money is going to be donated to, I think, several women's charities. So
it's like battered women's, right? Or
yeah.
Like
they're going to batter each other and then donate the money.
They beat each other up and then donate money to a charity.
Yeah. They've been great with the planning. But it's, in all seriousness, it's helping. It's helping the community. So that's what it's all about. So, but we're happy to host that event. Hopefully we remove all the mud for the next day. But then, May 20th is Southside Craft Beer Fest. I think back in February, I was talking to a couple breweries on the South Side, and personally, I noticed that, even for the past 5-6 years, that the South Side really doesn't get a lot of love or a lot of play in terms of just media coverage and talk in the streets. So, I talked to a few breweries, and I was like, we should probably get together and talk about, marketing strategies with each other and working together on events. And I think my first couple of meetings was with Moody Tongue and 350 and Hailstorm and then the South Loop breweries, and everyone just decided we should just come together and start planning stuff, So I'm on the board of directors for the South Loop Business Exchange with Rocky, so that's how we met.
Brings a tear to my eye every time.
Yeah. I remember the second time I met you, I'm like, who are you? You're like, nobody ever remembers me. Okay. So, we just talked about doing the event. I proposed it to the board members for the nonprofit. And so SLB is pulling the liquor license, and the event is being produced by Bader Brow, the Southside Brewers Association, and we're ready to go to town, so.
So what we're doing is we're blocking off Wabash, right?
Oh, really? And so it's not just in the. It's not just.
Oh, this is a huge deal. Oh, so, wow. So
it's
we
like
are
a block
blocking.
Party.
We're it's like a block party, right? We're blocking off Wabash, and Wabash ends at the expressway there, right? It doesn't cross the expressway. Yeah. So you got to go over to State or Michigan to cross the expressway. So we're blocking off the whole block of Wabash. And your regular ticket gets you access to the outside fest on Wabash, right, where all the breweries will be. And then on the brewery floor, if you buy the VIP ticket, that's where all the rare beers will be. And there's other stuff going on the inside. So that's on May 20th. The VIP starts at 1 p.m. The regular admission starts at 2 p.m. And you can get tickets on brown paper tickets.
Mm-hmm. So we've got 25 participating breweries. A couple of those breweries are from the West Loop. Obviously, I have affiliation with Pete Crowley, so we included Haymarket. One of the bands that are playing, the gentleman that's the head brewer at Geno's, Kevin McMahon. So his band's called Kevin. Crisp.
Kevin's in a band too. He does a podcast.
Dude,
too.
He's insane.
He's all over the place.
He is insane.
He's the only guy busier than me.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
We're going to have a band in the VIP area and DJs both inside and outside. Our sponsors, Sovereign. Out in Plainfield.
Yeah.
Shout out to Roth for that. We also have Glenn's, our distributor, sponsoring it as well. Was that Food City News?
Food Industry News.
Yeah. So they're helping us out as well to get the word out. So it's the inaugural. It's the first of its kind. First regional event put on by brewers, for brewers, for the general public. So it's exciting.
God bless you.
It's cool, man. And if we're going to become, and we are becoming that, this destination for craft beer, if we're going to continue to be that, we need to explore, not just the Ravenswood corridor or the West Loop. We need to really get out and kind of see what's going on in these other neighborhoods, because Chicago is a city of neighborhoods.
Yeah,
we're doing some cool shit on the South Side.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is exciting, man. So good shit.
Yeah. We're following up that with Monday. We're doing a meet and greet with the brewmaster. Frank is going to put together a 4-course kind of a cocktail hour, cocktail quote unquote with beer. Hour, so do some special food for that and meet and greet available. with the brewmaster and Rob on the brewery floor as well on Monday the 22nd.
I'm not going to tell you what's on the menu.
You have to come on and
be like that. Yeah.
But I would guess there'd be something that came out of a waffle iron.
There were. something
there were no waffles. Chicago Craft Beer Week is sneaking up.
It's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you guys are planning now. I mean,
yeah, because we're starting
May 2nd.
Yeah. And that's not even including May the 4th, where I think we're going to play Star Wars at the brewery.
Yeah, we're doing Star Wars Day on Thursday. We're going to do the trilogy starting at 1 o'clock. We're going to show the trilogy back to back to back, and we're going to cap it off with Rogue One at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
We're going to do beer pairings for each movie. So.
What about that waffle?
And we're gonna do a Death Star waffle special.
Oh, we're gonna sell you less waffles.
I mean, Empire Strikes Back is the one, but for me, the other one is the one where he cuts off Darth Vader's arm. This is young Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's like, "We were supposed to be brothers." That one. Oh man, that tugged at my heart right there. I can't think of which
one. That was
really?
Three.
That was three. That was three.
I don't like any of the prequels.
Really? I think that three was good.
We're doing the original trilogy.
Jar Jar Binks and baby Anakin.
Yeah. No, we're going back to the originals. The three original trilogy.
There
we
go.
Yeah. That's fun to see how Rogue One ends right into the originals.
Yeah. We're gonna cap it with Rogue One. We're gonna We have a resident Star Wars expert on staff, and I was like, Nathan. Okay. Yeah. I was like, we should lead off with Rogue One and show it in chronological. And he's like, no, that's so wrong. So
Star Wars is personal shit, man.
Yeah,
it's
so wrong. We're gonna show Rogue One at the end. Because Star Wars geek said so.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
More or less.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot happening. You guys insane amount of beer and all these events. This is awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's the classic example of build it and they will come, man. Vader brow.
Yeah.
I remember you guys, we were talking to Lubo, and I remember you guys were on the other distributor. And he's like, man, we almost died fucking around with that other distributor. But we're back, you know, like in a major way, man. You know, you got the brew pub, you know, you got a different distributor. Things are rolling.
Yeah, I mean, it shows how decisions like that can really matter.
Yeah.
I'm digging this Berliner Weiss.
Isn't that great? Yeah. So if you come down to the brewery, so we have the syrups that in traditional, let's back up a little bit. People don't know what a Berliner Weiss is. Berliner Weiss is a sour wheat beer. It clocks in at anywhere from 3 to 4%. I was at 3.6 right in the middle. And, traditional German-style beer from Berlin. And traditionally it's served with a splash of syrup, right? And in Germany they'll use either raspberry syrup or Woodruff syrup. Woodruff is a German herb. The syrup tastes kind of like marshmallows, if you ask me, right? And they're both good like that, but we bought a bunch of other syrups to mess around with. And my favorite, we got coconut and mango and peach. If you mix the coconut and the mango together.
That's the one I went with.
Yeah, and that's really good.
We call that the Rob.
Yeah, my staff is calling it the Rob.
I don't know why. It still freaks me out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Rob taste sweet? I don't know.
I'm sweet. I'm sweet. But I think what we're talking about is coming up with a menu. We're talking about coming up with a menu of pre-mixed, mixes with coming up with names for them, to be funny.
And then I got to ask, you guys did a take on a Rattler. I forget what it was, but it was
Velocirattler. Yeah. So we use kumquat juice.
Is that going to come back? You were saying hard to can because it was chunky.
We've not canned it. We still have it on draft.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like a beer mosa.
Yeah.
It's basically a beer mosa. it's great because kumquat provides just the right balance of sweet, sour, and bitter, within the fruit itself, right? The kumquat is a citrus fruit.
It's a great rattler. It's really good.
It's a great rattler. Yeah. And the kumquat is a citrus fruit that's like the size of a grape. And you eat the skin when you eat the fruit, and the skin provides a little bit of bitterness to it. It's just phenomenal.
It pairs well with a waffle.
Yeah, so Sunday.
So sick with a waffle.
Pushing these waffles. So sick with a waffle. All comes
Sunday,
back
Sunday
to the
half price waffles and half price Rattlers, 12 to 4 p.m. in the tap room.
Yeah.
Mm,
crazy. Yeah, my mom loved your Rattler.
Oh, she did?
She did, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great.
She's like, I fucking love this. I was like, oh, God.
Don't use the F word,
son. This shit's fucking awesome.
I met his mom. She uses the F word.
it's her favorite word. It's really weird. Like, after she got done raising me, that was, that's what everything turned into.
That was it.
Wow.
Chef life. Hashtag chef life. Yeah.
When your mom turns into a degenerate.
All bets are off, man. We're at that portion of the program right now. Well, yeah, that's all I have, Brad.
Yeah, I think that does it for this episode. So get tickets for the Southside Craft Beer Fest May 20th. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, head over to the brewery, try the new food. I got to make it over there myself. So.
Yeah, please come out.
Yeah, and it kind of alternates as like this art gallery as well. There's so much space.
We've got art shows going on out the wazoo. We've got a local playwright who's putting on a play on the brewery floor coming up. That's phenomenal stuff. You know, just check out all our feeds and, you know, find out what we're up to. We've got a lot going on.
Yeah, fantastic location. Beta Brow, Wabash, 2510.
2515
South,
right
Wabash.
On the corner of 25th and Wabash. And in fact, it's great. We write that on all our cans. Come visit us at the corner of 25th and Wabash. And since we've been in Sox Park, we have people showing up saying, "Hey, I saw you on the can." You know, hey, that's not far, right?
This is working.
This is the best roadmap.
What the hell?
Yeah. If you've seen us on the expressway, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
You always turn around.
Well, a pleasure as always, guys. This
always.
Yeah, this is great.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thank you,
man.
Yeah, Nick, where can people find you?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. And then our Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. You're posting pictures of these sandwiches, these waffles, all kinds
Dude,
of stuff.
Dude, the Saz Hob Reuben is legit, you know. We like to eat, man. We're big guys. We like to eat.
So, yeah.
We should check that out. Sure. And we'll be back.
We'll see you on the 20th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Southside Craft Beer Fest, May 20th.
Let me know.
And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.